joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Joy, joy, joy to the world. Thank you, Lord.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. And one more of these beautiful Christmas songs. Silent night, holy night. I don't know if it was night. I do know for the most part it was pretty silent except for the angels. Jesus.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Oh, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God. Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful Christmas time when we can remember that you were willing to come in flesh, God in flesh, and dwell among us in the lowest of states. Thank you, Father, for being willing to come. We give you glory today. And then to endure what you endured, that your name would be high and exalted, and that every knee in heaven and on earth would bow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need, to feel my Father smiling on me. The only name that matters to me. And yours is the name that saved me. Mercy and grace, the power that forgave me. And your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. Yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need, to feel my Father smiling on me, the only name that matters to me. Yours is the name that saved me, mercy and grace, the power that forgave me, and your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory,
With the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. La 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 la. Jesus, 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 just that name. Jesus, 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 just that name. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. La 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 la.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. All we give you glory, Lord. Mighty name of Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God, we will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God, we will sing, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. There is no one like our God. No one like our God. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. Mercy is forever. Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Father, we thank you today that you are good. You are always good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, Pastor Dave. I am here on behalf of the church to wish you and Carol a Merry Christmas, and we have some things here for you. But before that, I just wanted to read this. Now, we know Christmas is all about God so loved that he gave to us his son. Thank God he did that. But there are other gifts in the Bible. And it says in Ephesians, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And he himself, that's Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Dave and Carol are a gift to this body. And we ought never to forget a gift is given and a gift is received. So Dave and Carol, sorry, Pastor Dave, Carol, we give you this. I know there's more. Some have already come and some will come, but here's what we have today. And if you would, just receive that from us with our love. There's a poinsettia back there. I'm not sure if it's decoration or somebody brought it for you, but I think you should take it with you no matter what. But could we all just stand and could we just extend our hand to our pastor and his wife and let's thank God for the gift that he has given to us. Father, we are thankful today. We're thankful that this Christmas season we celebrate your giving to us, your son, who would eventually go to the cross, die, raise again, but redeem us from our sins. And we thank you for that gift. And in that process, Lord, you sent gifts to us to help us grow, to help us move forward, to help us understand. Lord, you sent us pastors. And so, Lord, we are thankful for Pastor Dave and Carol, all that they do, all that they are to us. And Lord, we pray for waves of encouragement to come upon their lives, Lord. That, Lord, that you would just help them to know, Lord, that you have been, that they have been placed here, not by the will of man and not by somebody's choice, but Lord, you yourself gave gifts to us. Lord, we receive the gift today that you've given us in Carol and Dave, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless them this Christmas season, but Lord, every day of the year, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And those are hymns.
Amen. Thank you so much. My goodness, that was a surprise. We actually had a lot of surprises this morning. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to hang on this morning. My mic stopped working, along with the computer. I'm not sure. They're not at all related. I'm not sure how that happened, but such as it is. Are there any testimonies this morning? What has God been at work at? Anybody want to testify today? Going once? Yes, testimony. Oh, come on up.
Okay, I've been wanting a puppy for a long time, but my yard wasn't all the way fenced. I finished that, and it just so happened that just the right puppy showed up. People that I work for gifted me with money, and I was so psyched, and I'm like looking at them and found one all the way down in Lancaster. The price was half the price of all the others. I was like, oh boy. So I went to my friend Steve yesterday morning, and I said, Lovey, I found a puppy that I want. Steve also has like a 8-10 week old puppy. And he said, okay, let's go get it. I said, okay, it's in PA. He said, okay. Well, I didn't wait till we were pulling out of the driveway to tell him it was all the way through Pennsylvania. We got home I got back home a little bit before midnight, but she is just the sweetest thing ever. And as soon as I got in the car and we started driving, I started crying, and Steve says to me, Lovey, why are you crying? I said, I love her already. I sounded like a little kid. I love her already, and I wanted her so long, and she's just perfect. Oh, my goodness. So I am very, very blessed. I'm so happy with her. I'm like a little kid who got a puppy on Christmas.
Yay. Yay. Amen. Sister Kate, I'm coming to you.
Forgive me if I don't stand up, but I can do that very well now. All of you have prayed so long for me, and this has been a long few months to get to where I am. But God is so good, and God had plans. Some of them I dug my heels in because I didn't want this. And some was like, God, I have a better plan for you. So it's not been quite 3 weeks since my knee replacement. He sent me, it's a long story, I won't go into it, to the right physical therapy department. And it's a little travel, but it's worth every penny of it. And every time and the hours it's going to take. when you have a knee replacement, they want, by 2 weeks, they want you to at least have a 90-degree angle in your knee bend. I went to the doctor Monday, which was 2 weeks, and I had a 120-degree knee bend. Almost unreal. And I'm allowed to drive. I have driven, but somebody picked me up today because I'm still a little leery of the parking lot out here. But people, you've been so good. I have had the most wonderful meals. I have the best church family. And I have felt your presence and your warmth and your delicious food. And it's all because we serve a God that's so good. Thank you.
What did you say, 120 degrees instead? What they expected was 90. Oh, glory to God. God is good. I want to thank you, too, for praying for us, getting us through all of these concerts that we had. They went just about as well as they could have gone. Blessing. And the nicest part is that we get to include songs about Jesus, songs that tell what Christmas is really about. That's the best part. And you get to do it in public school. Yes. Yes. And it's not against the law. We can do it. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to share this morning? All right. Well, Adam, I think my PowerPoint is actually going to work, but I don't know if this will. I'm going to see. No. So I'm going to have you click my way for me, if you would. I think I've got it as that far. I think. Oh, I forgot your song. I forgot your song. Brother Ed had been practicing special music today, and I almost jumped right past you. I'm sorry.
Let's go to the one I've been using. All right, that's still working. Ooh, hot mic. Well, I hope that the little MP3 player will work. We're going to find out. Don't start it just yet. This is a little different Christmas song. I like songs that tell a story. And the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Joseph. But, you know, in the book of Matthew, it tells us about the dreams that were given to Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, when he was just ready to divorce her quietly and, like, avoid all the shame. And then God, at that point, God revealed to Joseph who this baby is going to be. And he gave him the name and what he would be. And then he gave him all these other important instructions by dreams. The angel told Joseph not to fear. But you ever wonder about what Joseph's thoughts and feelings were, you know, after the shepherds were gone and, you know, they got a little bit settled down, and I think, you know, maybe Mary's taking a well-deserved nap and Joseph's holding the baby. So go ahead. We think. We could end up singing this a cappella, we'll see. Adam is waving back there. Waving for the boat. Oh, we got that much. Okay. This will give us some idea. How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be a son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king who looks so small, his face and hands so fair? And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm really glad we didn't miss that. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. This is kind of the culmination of everything that we've been sharing for the last number of weeks. In this series, we saw at the beginning all of the prophetic assurance of God's plan as we looked at all of the scriptures that began so generally and then became so specific to the time of Jesus' birth. We talked about finding joy in anticipation, the joy that Elizabeth and John in her womb had just being in the presence of Jesus. We talked about the servanthood of Jesus and how he was willing to come and come in the lowest of places, in the lowest of forms, and then essentially to live his life completely as a servant, and how we can let that mind be in us. And then last week, living in God's peace. And honestly, I didn't do very well with God's peace this morning when things weren't going well. As Ed was singing, I was repenting in the back. I'm like, oh God, I'm sorry, I got upset. I had to run in and print off words at the last minute and I wasn't happy. A couple people saw I wasn't very happy, but But we are who we are, and God knows who we are. And thank God for His grace and His mercy and His help. He is faithful. Today I want to look at one of God's greatest gifts to us. It's the gift of waiting. Isn't that sound wonderful? One of God's greatest gifts to us is the gift of waiting. Yes. Yes, waiting. Don't we just love waiting? I think it's the bane of my existence as an ADD kind of personality. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I tend to be very impatient because of that. It's hard. But waiting is a scriptural principle. It is. Adam, go ahead. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The word wait there is an interesting word in the Hebrew. I wish we could all be Hebrew and understand this language, because it's so fascinating and there's so much that we lose out in our English translations. It's the Hebrew word kavah. And it's originated from meaning to twist or to stretch. To twist something or to stretch it. And so what it's implying in the waiting is the tension involved in enduring. They that wait upon the Lord. Wait. And there's some tension sometimes in there in the waiting. But what is the reward waiting on the Lord? You get to renew your strength. You get to have this incredible help from God. So this speaks of patient endurance in waiting on God. And many, many people in the scriptures waited. Oh, I don't even like to look at it. But it's true. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham received his first promise of a son at 75 years old. Go ahead, Adam. Genesis 12, then the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And then go ahead, Adam. Genesis 21:5, Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. They waited 25 more years after the promise that it would happen. And God kept coming back and telling him again. And God came back and told him again. Okay, well, when is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? The important thing is, it happened. It happened. It did finally happen. Joseph, it says when he was in Genesis 37, says this is the account of Jacob. When Joseph was 17 years old, he was tending the flock with his brothers, and we know what happened. He brought a bad report about them, and his brothers got envious and angry, and Joseph was his father's favorite, so they sold him into slavery. Away he went. He ended up in Potiphar's house. And then he ended up getting thrown in jail. And then he ended up finally over all Egypt under Pharaoh. But in Genesis 41:46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So there was a whole bunch of trials that Joseph had to wait through. 13 years worth. Noah in Genesis 6, go ahead, Adam. I hope it's going to come up. Punch it one more time. Yep, that's okay. Let's not go there. Noah, in Genesis 6, God promised a flood to destroy the earth. Promised that it was going to happen. But he said it would be 120 years. Then he told Noah to build an ark. Noah spent over 100 years building this ark. 100 years he waited after God said this was going to happen. 100 years. He was not only building this, he was actually active doing some other things at the same time. But it was 120 years after the promise of the flood. Moses in the desert, when he was in Egypt, and he saw the Egyptian and the Hebrew fighting, and he murders the Egyptian and hides him in the sand. And then Pharaoh finds out, and off he goes. He goes off into the wilderness of Midian for 40 years. 40 years. We read that in Acts 7. And then he spends another 40 years in the desert with Israel before they get to the promised land. 80 years of waiting. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited their whole lives for a son. And then in Luke 1, John is born to them in their old age. The list goes on and on and on and on. We could just keep looking at things. David had to wait to be king. He was anointed king, and then he had to run from Saul. He went through all kinds of difficulties until the culmination of the Word of God in his life. The nation of Israel had to wait thousands of years for their Messiah to finally come. But the promise was sure. The promise was specific, and the promise came. Waiting is just not an easy thing, but it's a reality in the kingdom of God. I wish it wasn't, but it is. I remember even as a kid, waiting for Christmas was agony, and my kids at school were going crazy this week. I had crazy, insane children. They were so wild and excited. I tried not to be too hard on them. They're just excited. They're like, ah! My last period on Friday lasted about 9 hours. 45 minutes. 9 hours packed into 45 minutes. I was so glad when the bell finally rang. It's like, oh, go home. Oh, waiting. But the important thing is that God is at work in our waiting. God is at work when we're waiting. The promises of the Messiah were prophesied, and then they were read over and over and over for hundreds of years. Go ahead, Adam. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive our adoption as sons. Can you see that God's clock runs differently than ours? He has, his watch does not run like mine. It runs on his time, not my time. And there were times where people in the scriptures thought that God had forgotten them. Do you think that Abraham and Sarah thought that God had forgotten them? Oh yeah. That's why we ended up with Ishmael. Thank you very much. I wonder if Joseph, sitting in prison, wondered at times if God had forgotten him. I wonder if David, sitting in a cave fleeing from Saul, he said, God, why have you forgotten me? But at the same time, they thought that maybe they were forgotten or even abandoned by God. God was continuing to work. And we know that because we get to cheat. We get to look into the scriptures. We see the stories and how that all the time that they were going through these things, God was at work. God was always working in them and through them. He taught the Israelites to rely on him in the wilderness. He raised David up to kingship through the hardships that he went through. Let's look at, go ahead, Adam. 2 Peter 2:5. You know, Noah, when he was building that ark, that's not all he was doing. 2 Peter 2:5, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Noah wasn't just building the ark. He went around telling people, God is going to destroy the earth. Turn from your ways. Turn from your sins. He was a preacher of righteousness, and during that 120 years, God gave them chance after chance after chance after chance. God keeps coming back. And there's a purpose to our waiting, because God has something to work out. There's a working out in all of that. And so God is always up to something. He is always up to something. The New Testament begins with the long-awaited incarnation of Jesus. After they waited and waited and waited, Mary gives birth to Jesus in a cave in Bethlehem. The wait was finally over, but the wait was also just beginning. And Jesus grew to be a man. He was faithful to his calling. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was 3 days in a tomb and resurrected to life again. And then that brings us to Acts 1. Adam, go ahead. Acts 1, and you'll have to click one more time. 6 through 11. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Yes. Is it going to be now, Lord? And what does Jesus say? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. God has a different clock than you. Guess what that means? You're gonna have to wait. Yay! But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then just like that, Jesus was gone. Up he goes. And the disciples are standing there, it says, staring at the sky, wondering what to do next. And the angels there did I have that there? Go ahead, click one more time there, Adam. I might have another. You'll have to click one more time. Yes, there we go. After he had said this, they watched as he was taken up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So there they stand, and they're staring, and the angels look at him and say, why are you staring at the sky? I think that there's an implication there. Why are you just standing there? Why are you just looking up there? There's things to be done now. There's work to be done now. People need to hear about the resurrection and the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Get moving. And we have entered into the next waiting time, the time between Jesus' ascension into heaven and his second coming back again, the way he left. And Bible prophecy provides some of the greatest hope. It's amazing. And I want to share with you just a few statistics, if I could. They're fascinating. Go ahead, Adam. There are just as the Old Testament is just saturated with prophecies about Jesus' first coming, both Testaments are filled with prophecies about Jesus' second coming, and one scholar estimated that there are about 2,000 references to Jesus' second coming in the Old Testament. 17 books actually give it major prominence. And then in the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are 318 references to Jesus' coming. That's an amazing one out of 30 verses. One out of 30 verses talks about the second coming of Jesus. 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament refer to this event. 23 out of 27. For every prophecy in the Bible, about Jesus' first coming, there are 8 about his second coming. Do you remember how we discussed the highly improbable probability of just 8 prophecies of Jesus' birth happening when they did? The number I put up, I think it was 100 billion to 1. It was a 1 followed by about 1,000,000 zeros. But think about, multiply that by 8 about the second coming. Wow. So there is an absolute certainty that Jesus is going to return. And he will return to defeat Satan and to defeat sin once and for all. At that time, there will be no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more war, no more pain, no more death. We're looking forward to that. Glory to God. But can we agree that it's hard to wait for that day to come? We're still in that waiting time. But we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And God is working in our waiting. How many millions of people from the time that Jesus ascended till now have heard the gospel, have received the word of God, are going to be with him in heaven forever? God is continuing in his mercy to give chance and opportunity to the people of the world over and over. And when you wonder, well, when is Jesus going to come back? It's God's mercy that he hasn't come back yet. It's his mercy in extending his grace to people. But what he doesn't want us to do is like the disciples did, just stand and stare at the sky and count down the minutes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Go ahead, Adam. Number 2, Jesus will return for all to see. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. You know, when Jesus came the first time, it was pretty quiet. There was very little audience for Jesus' first coming. The shepherds heard it, and the angels appeared into the sky, but to the shepherds, really the only audience that Jesus had, other than Mary and Joseph when he was born, were the shepherds and some farm animals. And that was about it. Quite a while later, the Magi show up. We often in our nativity have them all showing up conveniently together on one night, but it didn't happen like that. The Magi came much later. Sorry if I ruined your little manger scene, but quiet and unassuming with a small audience, but Jesus' second coming will be something that no one is going to miss. Every eye is going to see it. No one is going to miss his triumphal return. It's the whole world is going to see it. And interestingly enough, I'm not exactly sure what this means. Even those who pierced him. So there's something about even the dead are going to know when Jesus returns. Even the people who have died are going to know at his return. It's going to come with trumpet blasts and Jesus riding on the clouds. We don't know when. You can't mark it on your calendar. It's a mystery that only the Father knows. And people always get into trouble when they try to figure out when it's going to be. So if you're around somebody who's busy telling you, well, it could probably be, you know, people like to just got to figure this thing out. Forget about it. God knows, and he hasn't told us. Well, he sort of given us a lot of prophetic words in the scripture, but Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, only the Father. Only the Father. So, but it says people will mourn because of him. I thought people would rejoice. Well, because when Jesus came the first time, he came as the Savior. He came as the wonderful Messiah who was going to be the deliverer. When he comes again, he's going to be the judge. And it says a sharp sword is going to be coming out of his mouth. And he will come and he will judge the world in that day. And yes, I believe that the saints will rejoice, but there will be a lot of people who did not accept him, who rejected him, who will mourn when they see him in, come in his glory. And that leads me to the third point. Go ahead, Adam. We are to not just be waiting, but actively, actively waiting. In the time that we're here, just like the apostles, just like them, instead of waiting and watching, we need to be active in the world. The good news of Jesus needs to be shared in word and in deed. And when we spend our time actively waiting, God's going to use that time to shape and mold you into the kind of person that he wants you to be by his Spirit. And he's going to use you to reach a world that desperately, desperately needs him. Hebrews 9:28. So also Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. I like the word eagerly there. The Hebrew there has it's a very exciting word where people who are excitedly readying themselves. It's a very active word. It's not passive. People who are waiting and excitedly anticipating his coming. And how do you do that? Remember the point at which that waiting time began? At Acts chapter 1. Go ahead, Adam. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replied, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, to the ends of the world. These are the last words that Jesus speaks before he goes up into a cloud. Do you know that the most important thing that somebody's going to say is probably if they see you for the last time, they're going to give you something really important. This is what God gave us. This is what Jesus said. You are going to be my witnesses. I want you to go and tell everybody. Preach the gospel. Bring the good news to the world of what's happened. And the best part is, and I'll give you the power to do it. The Holy Spirit. There's power to do it. Glory to God. He told us we'd be witnesses to the whole world and was going to leave us that power, and that is our primary duty. Adam, did I put one more scripture up there? I hope I did. Luke 24, and he told them, this is what is written. And this is kind of a sister verse to what we just read in Acts, the same time that he's about to ascend. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but remain in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Are you glad that God didn't just leave us unequipped to do the job that he wanted us to do? Glory to God that we have his Holy Spirit. But he has called us in this time where we're waiting to be the active hands of Jesus Christ reaching out to the world. Preach the gospel. Speaking the words of life to people. This waiting time, all of these years, God is giving the world over and over and over again the opportunity to repent, to accept him. And I want to encourage you to be part of that. Be part of that active waiting to bring the gospel to the whole world. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would burn into our hearts an evangelistic zeal, Father, as we realize that Jesus' first coming was sure, but your second coming is doubly sure. And that in this time, you have made us Christ bearers. Those who bear the name of Jesus Christ, Christians, little Christs, Father. And God, I pray that you would help us to be those who bring the gospel, Father, to our friends, to our neighbors, that you would dispel the spirit of fear that keeps people back from speaking your word, Lord, that you would embolden us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Spirit of God that we can receive to be able to share your gospel with a world that so desperately needs it in this hour. Father, even as we rejoice and celebrate Jesus' birth here today, and we have people just down the road who don't even realize that Jesus came, and they're celebrating something else, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us open our hearts, open our eyes to people that we can share with, that we can preach the gospel to, Father, that you would bring many sons into glory. Put it on our hearts, Lord. And God, I pray that you would help us where we might be hesitant or feel fearful about sharing the gospel with someone else, that you would help us, that you would give us boldness. Lord, you said that the righteous would be bold as a lion, Lord. Father, help us. Give us boldness to share the good news with people that we see. Help us with that, Father. You know our frame. And Father, we pray that you would open people's hearts, that you would send us to people whose hearts are prepared and ready, God, and if they're not, that you would give us grace to be ones who sow seed and plant it in the ground for somebody else to water. And we know that one plants and one waters, and it's God that gives the increase. So give us grace to be faithful to sow the seed of your word in as many hearts as we can in the time that we have left. And we thank you that we are certain of a surety that Jesus is coming back. Thank you. Thank you for your first coming that we celebrate. Thank you for your second coming that we anticipate with great joy. But help us to prepare. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas to you. If you're here today and you would like prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. And we would love to believe God for you for whatever your need is. Otherwise, Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Thanks for coming.